Hey, everyone. You're listening to Wireframe, a podcast about design, development, and disambiguation in our digital world. On this show, we take a transparent look into the best practices of our industry and explore new ways of approaching experiences sprinkled with a few spicy hot takes. If you want to learn more, visit wireframe.fm on the web for transcripts, show notes, and to listen to any of our other episodes. Or reach out to us on Twitter at WireframeFM. This podcast is brought to you by Design Systems House. And now here's your host, Donnie D'Amato.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming. This is another episode of Wireframe, and today I'm going to be talking about color. Now, admittedly, I'm probably unqualified to be talking about color normally speaking, and that's because I am color deficient, also known as colorblind. And that doesn't mean that I can't see color, and I want to make sure I disambiguate that really fast. What it means is that I have difficulty seeing the difference between colors, okay? So that might be a blue or a purple together in that same kind of scale, or the dark green and brown, which was very apparent to me when I was working for UPS. Knowing full well that the uniforms are brown, to me, they look dark green. Now, I'm not going to be talking about color in this way, and if you're actually interested in the science behind color, I highly recommend Nate Baldwin's website called Color and Contrast. I'll make sure to link that in the show notes. But what I'm going to be talking about here today is a question that came up in the Design Systems Slack channel, which was asking about many of the systems that this person was seeing across the public. And in these systems, what happens is you will find the color page or the color documentation and see all of these tints that maybe go from like red 100 and red 900 and all the colors in between and have all these different options. And his question was, why do these systems have all of these different tints when very few of them are used? And this is a great question, and this is something that's come up a couple of times in the community, so much so that I wrote a blog post, which is called Colors Don't Solve Problems. And in that post, I argue that we end up creating too many colors and, like I said, not using many of them, right? In fact, we spend too much time on this process, and it only results in having Hick's Law come into play. And that basically means there's too many options for people to choose. Now, I replied to that thread with that blog post, and I think the person really appreciated that response. There were other responses in that thread. One of them was against my approach, basically saying that color is important in this way, and challenges it by saying that removing weights is an exercise in premature optimization. Now, I, of course, argue that if the weights were never there in the first place, then you're not removing them, and therefore, null and void. That's okay. But in fact, there's other people out there that share this opinion that we are putting too much emphasis on color. This was actually found by accident. I was on Twitter looking at, you know, regular tweets, I suppose, and I came across PJ Onori, who you might be familiar with from the Design Systems Office Hours, and he's in the middle of creating a typeface, and he's building it in public to show everyone what that process looks like and all the trials and tribulations. And in that, he was showing some screenshots of his new typeface and against articles, and one of the articles that he was trying out was an article called Color is a Four-Letter Word. And I was like, well, that's a great title. I want to know where that blog post is. It happened to have been on his own blog, which is excellent. So I read that post, and I realized that I think we share many of the same feelings about how color is being handled in our line of work. And I highly recommend that you read his post as well. I'll put it in the show notes. I like how he creates analogs to the physical world, like the way that he introduces the museum and the reason why those walls are white is to focus on the artwork in particular, to not detract from the reason that you're here. It's excellent. But that's the general gist of what I think I'm also saying as well. And in fact, it is potentially fitting to be the first episode here of Wireframe, because I believe that when we're choosing color and doing this curation step, many systems and teams are doing it backwards. Now, what do I mean by doing it backwards? Well, I think this is also very similar to the way that Dan Moll presents your next component. I'll put that also in the show notes so you could take a peek at it. But what he suggests in there is that many folks believe that the button is the first thing to do in your design system, because of course you'll need a button. But what he'll argue is that the button isn't as helpful as potentially another component that you could be building for your teams. He suggests for Uber, as an example, that the map component would be a lot more impactful than, you know, creating a button for them, right? So this is a similar kind of thing that I'm talking about, but for the facet of color. And in fact, I'm saying that things like color, maybe even just the values themselves, color, topography, rounding, all of that stuff, is really things that should be considered last in the grand scheme of design systems. Now, you must be saying to yourself, how can we have a system without color? Well, you absolutely can. I'll explain a little bit how. And the way that you do that is really due to wireframes. Yes, we're going to go ahead and tie it in for the first episode. Wireframes are the answer. The reason why I think wireframes are the answer is because the wireframe is representing the foundational user experience. And that is without any color, really without any topography, very minimal spacing, or really no spacing system to be found other than some relational stuff. So really you're trying to identify exactly what the experience needs right down to the studs, right? And it has to work at that point before you ever consider the personality that you're going to put on top of it. This is the form following function, which means that the wireframe is the function. This needs to function in this way. And then what follows that is the form. Right? It's that brand expression that you're going to put on top of it, or this feedback expression that you're going to put on the notification system. All that stuff is things that are going to be added after the experience is understood. And I think all too often we forget about that wireframe step and immediately go to that high fidelity where it's sexier, right? And that's a lot more fun and interesting than the wireframe step, right? It feels like, oh, I could just, you know, do these two things at once and really cut the time in half about the user experience workflow, right? And yes, that could be possible. However, I think, again, we are not putting enough emphasis on that UX and putting too much emphasis on that UI. So when I'm talking about this being backwards, what I'm talking about is we are putting too much emphasis on what colors could we have and not enough emphasis on, is this solving the user need? So I want to go a little bit more into detail about the actual color selection process, or not really the process, but maybe the results. Yeah, I think that's what I really want to talk about here. Because those results are all those tints, right? What comes out of those exercises that our designers have is that they come out with a range of tints that say all these colors work nicely together and go forth, enjoy, have a good time with all of your flavors. There's a couple of problems with this. The first problem that I see is that oftentimes those colors that appear in the middle of those scales are very difficult to use. And I'd say that from a contrast standpoint, not from a, oh, it's harder to put color 100 versus color 200 in there, just from a placement standpoint. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the values that exist in the middle of these scales, especially when we're talking about the grays, are typically very unusable. Just think about the gray that would be hex 888. That's middle gray, or in RGB, it's 128 three times, right? That gray, with any other color, is going to be very difficult to read. So why have it? Just because you have a 400 and a 600, you need to have a 500? Not necessarily, no, right? In Colors Don't Solve Problems, the blog post, I argue that it would be much better for you to have the opposite ends of that spectrum rather than the entire spectrum, right? So if you have to have these decisions of color, have them at the opposite ends. To go a little bit further than that, just have the colors at both ends, right? So for the red, as an example, you would have the light red and the dark red. And that's all you need. And what that helps with is that Hick's law that will occur with designers that will go ahead and say, well, with 8 different shades of this red, I don't know which one to choose. You'll have folks that will choose the 400, folks that will choose the 500, folks that will choose the 700. They'll choose any one that they think looks better, right? But if you only have those two, the light red and the dark red, it's a lot less choice, but makes it a lot easier to choose. So that means that the only thing that they have to think about in their mind is, can I read this text or not, if it's dark red or light red, depending on where I'm placing it. It's a lot faster to go ahead and choose that, and everything's going to be a lot more consistent if it's the same red, right? So I think that's really what you want. All these tints that you're creating in this exercise is really sexy. And it's low-hanging fruit, too. It's a fun time to go ahead and start choosing colors. You know, express yourself in a new way. I really think that it would be a much better use of time, instead of trying to choose these colors, to actually, again, go back to your wireframes and look at the experience and see how it could be improved there, right? Your bottom line, right, the money that's coming in for your business is not going to be make or break from the colors that you choose. That's what the fundamental message of Colors Don't Solve Problems is talking about, right? All those choices that you're making when it comes to color, they're not going to affect your bottom line. What's going to affect your bottom line is a good user experience, right? And there's so many tools out there to go ahead and choose the right colors. I use many of those tools myself because I'm color deficient to figure out what colors to choose for my sites. And it's typically one of the last things I do, right? And I do that because I have tokens that support the ability to change these colors, right? And that's the thing that we're supposed to be doing, right? When we're talking about, again, doing this stuff backwards, if we want to be allowing color to exist in the page or in the experience, create the mechanism where color can exist on the page first, right? That's, I think, what's going to be critical in here. You know, for a little bit of an analog in the real space, right, I think it's a little odd for us to be choosing colors before we ever seen the room. I think we should be seeing the room first, understanding the room's needs before we ever decide, okay, this is the color that I want for this room. It's the same kind of scenario in my mind, right? We shouldn't really be looking at colors until we understand the space. And don't get me wrong, this is a hard thing to do, right? I'd much rather be playing around with colors because colors do have an expression, do have an emotion behind them. As a person who was an artist for a long time, colors do mean something, certainly. But again, this is user experience design. We have to think about that user first. So if you want to know more about this approach and have a couple of visual examples of what I'm talking about, certainly take a look at the blog post that I'll have in the show notes called Colors Don't Solve Problems. I hope that it's enlightening and people reconsider the importance of this color exercise and try to set it aside for more important things that could be more critical to the system. In fact, I hope to have another wireframe episode that really talks about semantic tokens, which I probably will because knowing me, I love talking about semantic tokens, and hopefully that won't be an hour-long episode. But generally speaking, again, I think, you know, it is a powerful thing to prioritize the things that are important. And color, I believe, isn't as important as many people out there think it might be. So what do you think out there? You let me know. You could tweet at me at WireframeFM. Give me those comments, and I'm interested to know what your take on this is, because color is a big thing when it comes to design, right? Many people have different feelings about this. You know, even folks that are out there that might share my opinion have a different take about why color, you know, isn't as important as people bring it out to be. Or maybe you have the same frustrations out there when people are trying to choose colors and they aren't accessible or don't know the reasons why those colors are being chosen. Oh, one more thing, by the way. There is a reason where colors are kind of sort of important, but I'll talk about that in another episode. So you're going to have to keep listening. I'm sorry. There's more coming. It's what's going to happen. But anyway, it was good talking with you folks. See you later.
That wraps up the show for today. This has been another episode of Wireframe. If you liked this episode, please share it with your network. If you want to learn more, visit wireframe.fm on the web for transcripts, show notes, and to listen to any of our other episodes, or reach out to us on Twitter at WireframeFM. This podcast is brought to you by Design Systems House. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay clear.